Well, we're finishing up our series on fathers and sons today, and I have really enjoyed getting to know some of the dads and sons and just kind of seeing their stories and how their lives have unfolded and see how one generation mentors another. And so, and guys, just hold it close when you talk. So today we're going to talk to Ken and Robert Thrasher, and to close out the series. And Ken, I ask you to describe Robert, and you gave me a couple of words about him. Kind of tell me a little bit. How would you describe your son?
Well, Robert is the youngest of our three sons, and Michael and John is older brothers. And I thought about this, and after we talked, I thought the word that actually came to mind is precocious. That's a positive word. You look it up. I did to make sure. I didn't want to. No, it is a positive word. And what I said to Gene when he asked me that, I said Robert was kind of always wise beyond his years. Mm. And even when he was a little boy, I saw that. And I said, even as I got older and Robert got older, in college, and I would actually go to Robert for advice about my business, and he would he would usually have some pretty good insight. And the other word that came is insight. He's insightful. On the other side, he's also very curious. We've got family stories of when he was going around the little walker thing, in the kitchen, and he's the third child, so they don't watch him quite as closely, and so he was always curious, so he decided to stick his hand in the oven to see if the element was hot, and then he stuck a bean in his ear, and we had to have a beanectomy performed to have the bean removed. So anyway, those are just some things to maybe give you a picture.
And Robert, I asked you to describe your dad, and you gave me a word that I had not heard before for a father, and you said steadfast, which I thought was just a fascinating word, just the stability, steadfast. Tell me a little bit about your dad.
Sure. I think when I think back on dad and how to sum up how I describe him, I do think steady and consistent sticks out. Despite busy work life, etc., dad was present with me and my brothers. He coached us in all our sports, and he was a steady, consistent leader for our family, and continues to be today. And my dad said he comes to me for advice. Well, I go to him much more for wisdom and advice and perspective, and I think he has that in spades. So,
awesome. It's interesting that with all the dads that we've talked to, that sports has played a little bit of a role growing up, and you guys mentioned that specifically as well. You were like, Dad was there, so what did you play, and what did that look like growing up?
Yep. So I played, when I was young, baseball, basketball, football. My dad coached me and my brothers in those sports, which he's a tax CPA, and during the baseball season, that's a busy time for a tax person, yet I didn't know that or understand that as a kid. Thankfully, he spared me of that, but he was still there and coaching our teams, not missing games, etc., and that sticks out to me all the more today. And then as I got older, I got into wrestling with Schroeder Voiles, and my dad spent many hours in the gyms watching us and cheering for us, and he made a point to always be there.
Man, that's awesome. Now, Ken, you mentioned, we talked a little bit with the other guys about family traditions, and you mentioned an odd family tradition, Benihana. You want to say a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, well, it actually came about even going back to my mom, because she was had some disabilities, and she was here in Atlanta, and we would want to get together with her around Christmas Eve. So Benihana's was the only restaurant that was open on Christmas Eve back in the day. It wasn't that long ago, really. But so we started going there, and then that just sort of so Mom could come, and that was just a good place to get around a table and, you know, have some fun. And we continue to do it now. We don't do it every Christmas Eve. We do some different things now, but that's how they got started.
Awesome.
Yeah, we just enjoyed that.
Robert, you started your career in homeless ministry. Tell me a little bit about that, and then how you got from that to what you're doing now.
Sure. Some friends and I got involved with working, spending a lot of time with the homeless during college, including some guys I see here, and that evolved into a ministry, a relationship-based ministry between homeless and non-homeless folks. And so I spent the first 5 years out of college doing that full-time with that ministry in Athens, Georgia, and then here in Atlanta. And then I made the natural path to corporate attorney from that. But, no, I was fortunate when I worked in with those ministries to work with some great leaders and board members who I saw using their time and money and energy in ways I had not really seen before. And so that was an inspiration and model to me, and something I am trying and hope to do over time as well.
Awesome. Ken, you talked a little bit, we talked about faith journey, and it's been interesting as we've done this little series to see how different men kind of came to faith. You said your parents were faithful followers of Christ, and you were exposed to that at a young age. And kind of tell me a little bit about your faith journey.
Sure. my parents were had very strong faith, and I'm very thankful for that. Many of you are as well, I'm sure. But I grew up in the Baptist church, and they had those little envelopes where you check off. You get a grade every Sunday. Did any of y'all remember those? And so I kind of grew up thinking performance-based. A lot of side stories around that. But then as I went through, but I always, my faith was always there. You know, and it was always helpful in my life, going through college and high school. But like many people, stories, I drifted, sort of put it on the back burner, and started pursuing my goals. And then Bob Day and invited me to Friday Morning Fellowship. I thought about this, Robert. I was actually your age when I first came to this.
And so you started all the way back at Houlihan's, right?
At Houlihan's, right. And Chris was there, standing at the top of the steps, greeting everyone. And anyway, I came to that fellowship, and, it's like it is today. That's one of the things I love about it. It hasn't changed. You know, the gospel has stayed at the center of this ministry. And, I started enjoying the fellowship, actually reading the Bible, hearing about how I could apply that in my life. I wasn't, Chris tells his testimony, I love it, he's up against the wall, in Philadelphia. Well, I was kind of up against my own wall here in Atlanta with three young children, new heavily mortgaged house, trying to get a business going, trying to keep my marriage, good. And so I finally just said, hey, I'm getting off the fence. I'm jumping in the pool, and my faith's been growing, and I'm thankful for that. And it's all by the grace of God. Let me underline that. We could talk about that all day, but
awesome.
That's basically. So here we are today.
And Robert, I loved what you said about your dad and the influence he was in terms of faith on your life. You said when you would wake up in the morning, you'd see him doing something early in the morning. What was that?
Yeah, I have a vivid picture still of waking up, walking down to the kitchen, and my dad would be sitting there reading his Bible and spending time with God. Well, he'd be reading the paper and the Bible, and as I understand it, it was my dad's dad who said, if you read the newspaper and the Bible every morning, you know what both sides are up to. And so I've taken that from him as well. But, yeah, so I got to see my dad spending time with God and reading the Bible, and then he would lead us in devotionals at the breakfast table often. And so very grateful to have grown up seeing faith practiced, not just going to church on Sundays, but in our home and in our conversations every day.
And now you've got two young kids now, right?
Yep.
What are you doing in your life now to influence them in their walk and faith? And they're young, but yep. there's already a sense of what you want to be as a dad.
Yeah, right now we're trying to survive as it is. But, I'm trying to, and my kids are 3 and 1, but we're trying to practice those routines of reading Bible stories, talking about God, and reminding them of God's love over and over, really, and trying to put into practice some of those things I saw my parents do.
Mm. Ken, you said yesterday when we were talking about your faith journey that your dad had an impact on you, but I thought there was one interesting thing that you said, that he let you discover things on your own. Tell me a little bit about that, why you thought that was important.
Well, I guess I would say he was always there. You know, he was the... generationally, dads in my dad's generation were more distant. I mean, at least mine was. I mean, they were there, but they weren't, as relational, so to speak. Some of that's my dad's, family and upbringing, which is a whole other story. He gave me rope, not enough rope to hang myself, but enough rope to run into problems and have to experience, well, how do you deal with that? And I just didn't feel like I lived a sheltered life where I didn't get exposed to challenges. And as I got older and older, looking back on that, I was just very thankful for that he and whether he did it deliberately or not, I never ask him. Maybe when I get to heaven, I can. But he just gave me that opportunity to grow and have the satisfaction of feeling like, hey, I accomplished something, not alone, but by the grace of God. But so that's the best way I can describe it.
Well, it's been interesting the last couple of weeks as we've talked to you guys to see how one generation has influenced another, one after the other, and how fathers and sons have a very special relationship. And so it's been fascinating. I'd like to pray for you guys as we close up this morning, and I'd like to thank y'all for being here for this series. We did something a little different than we do with our talks. But before I pray for them, I'll let you know, next week we're going to start a traditional talk series, and we're going to be doing the parables of Jesus. And so these are little just golden nuggets of, Jesus was a master storyteller. And so it's neat that you can, some of these stories are a paragraph, two paragraphs, some of them are three sentences. But you literally can pull a leadership nugget out of each and every one of these. And so I'm real excited about this series. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it because you just attach a story to this leadership nugget and carry it with you through the week. I think it's going to be unbelievably practical. For those who would like to use this morning as a discussion, I love that word steadfast. And so there's discussion guides on steadfastness that are on the coffee table for you to grab on your way to your table this morning. Let me pray real quick, and then we'll be done this morning, all right?
May I go off script?
Please, absolutely.
I just wanted to echo what Mark was saying about you, Gene. And we're very thankful for you. And I think it's shown, particularly in this interview series, if I guess we call it that, then and your leadership through that, and just your ability to pull it off in good fashion. I'm always amazed. And I remember when Mark brought Gene into this organization, he talked about you, and the proof's in the pudding, but I've seen plenty of proof in the pudding.
Oh, you're very kind. I appreciate that very much. Well, let me pray us out. Father God, I just want to thank you for the Thrashers and what they mean to this group. I thank you for their influence within their own family and within the community and within this fellowship. I thank you for the years that Ken has put in to developing relationships with men. I thank you for the time that he's devoted to his three sons. And I thank you for Robert and the influence he's having not only with the homeless ministry, but now in the corporate community. God, we need more men of integrity in our world today, and I'm very proud to sit with two of them here and with all the men who have been a part of this series. I ask that you bless their family now as they go through life and leadership, and I ask that you would give each of us the opportunity to influence all the people around us, our within our own families, our spouses, the people that we work with, that we influence them in a godly way, and that the leadership tenets that you're bestowing on us will flow out of us and into our workplaces and lives. And I pray all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your time at your table today.